Graham Tuckett has been watching TV this weekend. He joins us in our usual TV critic slot. Hey there, Graham.
Hey, Jesse. Good to be back.
Watch any sport this weekend?
Oh, man. Look, I forced myself to go to bed about 2:30 this morning. I sort of got the whole New Zealand innings and thought, well, we haven't disgraced ourselves. Whatever happens, it's going to be okay. You know, sort of trusting that England wouldn't mow it down in 15 overs. There's no way I would have made it to 6:30 to watch the whole thing, but I kind of wish I had.
I did the first 30 and the last five.
Right. The last five must have been hard work.
It was good. It swung back and forth so much. Anyway, we're not here to review the cricket.
No. But just, I mean, shout out to everybody that does those 12-hour shifts and actually gets through a game like that without once technically, pardon the pun, dropping the ball. It's like there's so much like actual world-class backroom stuff goes on in broadcasting, something from 20,000 kilometres away at ungodly hours of the morning, and they just do it superbly every time without so much as usually even a mention or a thank you, you know? So shout out to the TVNZ or Sky Sport Live OB crew. You are world-class.
I was actually really proud of Ian Smith. There's no one I like better in the commentary box when things are exciting.
No, we could all learn from Ian Smith. He's got a lovely, laconic sort of nothing, never ruffled, and yet never uninvolved either.
Yeah, that's right. It's a good way of putting it. Anyway, you've been on Netflix looking at something called Tuca and Bertie.
Oh, look, if you haven't got hold of Tuca and Bertie yet, Jesse, you're going to be thanking me for this for weeks.
Animated sitcoms, I'm not sure. Simpsons is all right. I've never done another one, though.
Look, I think seriously, you've never gone past The Simpsons? I think we are living in a golden age of some of the most surreal, inventive, creative, subversive animation that people will look back on this on the 21st century as like that's when animation got back to where it was in the 30s and 40s of doing things that film could not possibly do.
Yeah.
And even addressing storylines that film and TV could not possibly address. I mean, like Tuca and Bertie is just sort of the latest example, but stuff like, Mr. Salad Fingers, a friend put me onto a couple of years ago.
Someone put me onto that as well.
Have you seen Mr. Salad Fingers?
Okay, that just really rang a weird bell. I think it was from like a late night YouTube session or something.
There would have been a late night YouTube session. That's how everyone stumbles across Mr. Salad Fingers. Tuca and Bertie comes from Lisa Hannawalt, who is also one of the creative powerhouses behind BoJack Horseman. Mm. Which is Will Arnett's extraordinarily dark sort of psychodrama comedy about being an unemployed horse actor in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, not the person who played the horse, but the horse that played the horse.
Yeah.
You know, the horse that was Silver or Trigger. So Lisa Hannawalt was one of the people that was behind BoJack Horseman. Tuca and Bertie is her own project that she's got off the ground, I think last year. No, actually this year. It's only been on since May 2019. Netflix have commissioned at least one series of it, and there's a second series has been confirmed recently. Stars Tiffany Haddish, who's a very, very great upcoming American stand-up comic. Mm. She sort of got a breakthrough... on the NBC show called The Carmichael Show, and then she really broke out internationally with the movie Girls Trip, which she had like she was the one blowing the established names off the screen in Girls Trip, which is a great little female rom-com, like very much a Bridesmaids, but it goes even further.
Yeah.
She's also hooked up with Ali Wong, who's a Chinese-American stand-up comic. Who's got herself a couple of Netflix specials on at the moment, one of which I found intolerable and the other one of which I thought was great, but the one called Hard Knock Wife is just terrific. So working in collaboration with these two established, very, 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 very funny women, Tuca and Bertie is the story of two 30-year-old, I'm going to say women, but they're actually birds. One's a toucan, one's a songbird. They live in an apartment block, which is kind of like... I'm going to say like downtown Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy, as reimagined by Richard Scarry and Dr. Seuss. So it's this kind of hyper-colored, but it is that classic New York brownstone six-story apartment block type thing where you just have to learn to get on with your neighbors because the place is just too congested to ever bother not getting on with people because there's just not enough hours in the day to not get on with people. Which I think is my favorite thing about New York City, actually. Mm-hmm. You just have to get on with people. Yeah. Otherwise, you just be exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
Birdie has a job working for a fairly ill-defined company called Conde Nast, which is, you know, it's just the worst pun you'll ever hear. She's got a live-in boyfriend called Speckle, who's also a songbird. And the two of them, like, Tuca and Birdie basically just have little adventures together in time-honored sitcom fashion, except it's rivetingly grown up. Like, all of the language comes out, all of the situations come out. There's great discussions of sexuality and gender and who's doing what to whom and how's this relationship going to pan out. There's like a bird version of Tinder that comes into play occasionally. There's an upstairs neighbor who appears to be an animated houseplant. There's another upstairs neighbor called Dapper Dog, who delightfully is voiced by Richard E. Grant, who's like...
Love Richard E. Grant.
Yeah, right. So Richard E. Grant turns up in this. I mean, Reggie Watts, also a great stand-up comic, yeah, but he's also the guy that leads the band, and I think Stephen Colbert's band in The Late Show. He's also the leader of that, like just one of the most interesting human beings in the world. He's like a fro with a huge human being growing
was
out
he
in the
was he the it. Was he the stand-up in Nutty Professor who was making fun of Eddie Murphy's character, then Eddie Murphy comes back and slays him?
I kind of hope so, just yeah, because somebody should take it to Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
It's exactly the sort of role that Reggie Watts would have had. Who else got to think? There's just a bunch of, like, very, very good American, of that sort of not the major mainstream cleaned up white bread American comedy that we see on sort of the free to air channels, but the far more submersive, dark and dirty and genuinely funny and provocative comedy that sort of lurks on the Netflixes and the very, very late night TV shows. So Tuca and Birdie is like an expression of that. If you're a fan of anything from The Simpsons onwards, but especially if you've seen stuff like BoJack Horseman, you will just adore this. It's funny and stupid and provocative and just excoriatingly intelligent at the same time.
Like there's a trailer on YouTube, a 2-minute trailer, if people want to have a look.
It's one of those, it is virtually indescribable, but yeah, the 2-minute trailer will give you an idea of whether you're going to love this thing or absolutely hate it, and nobody will sit on the fence. And I think that's the mark of a good show.
How did I miss this? Second episode on TVNZ's one last night, something called That's a Bit Racist.
I have to say, TVNZ, I know they've got a marketing department because I hear about all the other stuff that's on all of the time. You know, they're always playing the single people flying in from there, and somebody's going to cook you dinner and they're going to argue about it, and these people are building a house and somebody else is getting married. Like, there's a lot of that out there.
But when they create their own content defining issues of the day, where are they?
They're at 9:30 on a Sunday night and nobody's talking about it.
Oh,
it's a bit, it seems like a bit of a shame, especially since what else was on TV at 9:30 last night, which I'm sure was taking up more people's attention.
Yeah, maybe.
Look, That's a Bit Racist is a TVNZ kind of did it like a two-hour conversation / talking head / very oddly sketch comedy show about racism in the current day in New Zealand. And it was lifted, as my occasional compatriot Glenn McConnell and stuff and Dominion Post pointed out, it owes a great deal of its whakapapa to the Maori TV series Brown Eye, which screened a couple of years ago for a couple of series, which Taika Waititi, among others, put together. I think TVNZ's That's a Bit Racist, nobody at TVNZ would ever tell you with a straight face looking you in the eye that they weren't basically attempting to use the formula of Maori TV's very, very good Brown Eye series. Also, great name. I just love that. Yeah, That's a Bit Racist kind of delved into, it wanted to be like a sort of magazine-light infotainment show, looking at, you know, here are the stats on that, and we've put this survey in front of these people, and we found out that 85% of people that live there actually do favour these people over that people, and you might not know you're racist, but here's the proof to show that you are, sort of thing. And then intersperse that with some truly odd, and I've got to say, not that slightly patronisingly written sort of play school spin-off. And I go, well, if you don't want to do a play school spin-off, I mean, Billy T. James wrote the book on that and then threw it away, so don't bother. It just came across as a little bit, I'm not going to say lip service-y, because I'm sure the people behind it absolutely had their point to make, and it's a very valid point, and it's a point that cannot be made enough over and over again, but it did feel like a slightly light entertainment take on something that probably deserves an actual documentary and maybe like some actual stories and some real journalism, rather than, look, no offence taken, but why interview just stand-up comics on their take on the day when you're talking about something as deathly serious as racism? And I know the answer to that is stand-up comics are generally some of the smartest people you and I will ever meet, because they do have to be anything like successful as a stand-up comic, you've got to be able to observe, extrapolate, calculate, and then spit out exactly the right response very, very fast. And the, you know, stand-up comics do make incredible interview subjects, and they do make good commentators, because they've got to be generally, they have to literally be the smartest people in the room, because their very survival on stage depends on it. But I wouldn't have minded some more actual analysis and not just penetratingly witty hot takes what is, after all, racism, you know?
Yeah, because if you're going for the gag, then you may be missing a sort of a more interesting, less funny truth, right?
And maybe you're just leaving behind possibly a majority of the audience to whom a stand-up comic is just entertainment value and not actually providing any sort of insight or unbiased reportage.
Would you recommend people look it up on TVNZ On Demand?
Only as an example of to see what's missing, to see what's lacking, maybe get a little bit of the drums of moral outrage beating a little bit and say, hey, look, TVNZ, this isn't something that you write off as infotainment. This is actually something you could be going for some funding to make the real film about. I mean, look what they've done over the years with various pieces that Brian Bruce has got over the line on child poverty in New Zealand, on educational inequality within New Zealand. They've been compelling viewing. But I think TVNZ, thanks for coming, but this wasn't really the right show on the right topic in any way, sense, or time.
Okay, I'll put it out there if people were watching. If anyone really enjoyed it, let us know. 2101 is the text number.
Love to hear back.
And Graham, just time for one more. Do you want to talk about The Barber?
Okay, let's talk about The Barber. The Barber is available on Māori TV On Demand and also on the Freeview platform. It is a series of 18 to 21-minute documentary shorts, all made in Flaxmere, starring a young man called... I've actually got my laptop to turn on today. I'm fantastic. Palete Ole Aleene Uese is a barber in Flaxmere. The documentary show just basically features one of his clients each week and just takes a deep dive into real struggle, real working class life, whānau life. I discovered this last week because I knew I had to talk about something today, and I went looking in the deeper reaches of Freeview to see what was out there. I love this show.
Yeah.
The Barber, it's Māori TV. I don't think actually play it live. They only play it on their free-to-air platform, or it's on the standard Freeview platform. It's heartwarming, it's insightful, it's penetrating, and yet it never becomes anything like confrontational. It's just a warm and lovely look at some corners of New Zealand society that TV cameras either usually just get wrong or don't get into at all. And I cannot commend this highly enough. Just tiny little show, tiny little budget. I notice mostly women creative, director, producers, writers behind it, even though the cast are mostly male. It's got warmth and insight and araha, and I absolutely commend it.
So great. That one's called...
just called The Barber.
The Barber on Māori TV, yeah, if you want to look it up. That's a bit racist on TVNZ, although you've missed that one. Now you have to find that on demand. And Tuka and Bertie, which is the animated sitcom that Graham was reviewing.
On Netflix.
Graham Tucker, thanks so much.